Luke 1, verse 46 to 56, and it's called Mary's Song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Penny. Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be stood here on this third Sunday of Advent with a chance to spend some time looking at this wonderful passage in Luke. This is the last in our Advent series. We've been thinking about listening. This week, we can learn from Mary's listening to the Holy Spirit. It's about listening, but it's also about responding. Now, before we dive into this passage, let me just back up a little and put this passage in context. Mary, an unknown normal girl growing up in a country where her people have been displaced by an oppressive invading force, is going about her daily life when she's visited by God's angel Gabriel, told she's about to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit and the son she will bear will save the world. Hearing this, Mary does not panic or freak out, but travels to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who herself is pregnant in amazing and wonderful circumstances. It's worth noting here that when Mary goes, she does so in faith. When she meets Elizabeth, it was while there was still no evidence of her pregnancy. When she leaves Elizabeth, she was 3 months pregnant and would have had all the physical evidence. On meeting, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and as a result exclaims a message of blessing on Mary. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." God speaks to Mary directly through the words of Elizabeth. So on hearing the Holy Spirit's message to her, Mary has a choice in how to respond, and this is what we're going to be looking at today. Her response is widely referred to as Mary's song, or as some will recognise it, the Magnificat. Now boy, what a song it is. It's a song of praise, a song of power, and a song of promise. And that's how I'd like to look at it today. Praise, power, promise. Mary's first response is praise. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." And it goes on. Through it all, she is constantly praising God. And it's not a song that she has just plucked from thin air. It comes from the depths of her soul. It comes from deep within. The lyrics come from what she knows. She knows her faith. She is, after all, Jewish. And as such, we can tell that she knew her Bible. Deep within her core, she has a faith based on God's word. Looking at what she brings is a mashup of the Psalms, Exodus, and Isaiah. It is equivalent to us praising God using "Amazing Grace," "Thine Be the Glory," and the Hallelujah Chorus. Mary's response is so telling because it seems to come so effortlessly. Mary does not work at it just seems to flow. It flows from this deep down faith that even presented with a circumstance that is both confusing and bewildering, it doesn't shake her. And even in her song of praise, we see Mary is humble. despite the promise of Jesus being born into this world via her, and she realizes that the consequences for her are massive. But that doesn't change her. Even though she will be remembered as the mother of Jesus into eternity, she still turns the praise back to God. Look at verse 49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. It would have been so easy for her to get swept up in the amazing enormity of the situation and let the glory, fame, and attention focus on her. But no. Mary deliberately turns the glory back on her God who is about to change the world. Which leaves us with two questions. When God speaks into your life, what is your response? Is our response to God speaking into our lives to run and hide? Or when God speaks into our lives, do we act like Mary? Do we listen and then respond? And secondly, who gets the glory? When God speaks and then we act, does the attention and the acknowledgement fall on us? Or are the results of God's Holy Spirit speaking into our life shone back on him? Is it God or you who gets the accolades, the acknowledgement and the praise? Mary's response is both inspiring and humbling. Can we aim for that? Can we be as humble as Mary and inspired by God's Holy Spirit in our lives? So we have a song of praise. From verse 51 to 53, we have a song of power. Not an earthly power, but a supernatural heavenly power. A power that is going to undo this world and stand it on its head. Mary shows us a mighty God. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. A God who will take the proud, the powerful, and the rich, and overlook them for the humble, the powerless, and the poor. This is not a song that is meek and mild. Michael Wilcox asked this question. Have we over-spiritualized Mary's song? Have we lost that revolutionary spark? For if we look at these words of power in the context of the time, we see how it would have resonated with Mary and her people. The Jewish nation was anything but proud, powerful, or rich. It was under the heel of the Roman legions, and certainly where we meet Mary is anything but the centre of the world of the day. She is in a long forgotten backwater of a once glorious nation which has an echo of greatness. You can also look at this song and see it as the first protest song. It is rebellious. It is challenging the status quo. It is a declaration of freedom in God that has not been seen for generations. The echoes of this rebellious chorus can still ring true today. We here are fortunate in this place and at this time. We can practice our faith in the open and without fear. As we heard not that many weeks ago, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ will be living out their faith in oppression and darkness. But can you imagine when they read these words, what a hope they must get? A reminder that in God, nothing is impossible. Indeed, when we look throughout our Bible, God loves to take the underdog, those who have been given up and cast aside by this world. God loves to take the least and make them mighty. So where are we today? Do we live in God's power? Are we living as the least, but living in the hope of being made mighty? In our daily walk with God, doing life day to day, do we look to the needs of those who need our help, need our words and actions to show kindness? Can we emulate God's actions by working against the status quo through God's power and might? And in doing so, work out that which God has spoken into our lives. So we have a song of praise. We have a song of power. Mary finishes with a declaration of God's promise, a promise that she has grown up with all her life. Verses 54 and 55 speak of a God who has in the past helped her nation Israel, helped her people be mighty. a mighty nation born out of the blessing of Abraham. A blessing, and the consequences of that have echoed out of history into Mary's present time and place. Mary's people would have harked back to the glory days of God's greatness and been dreaming of that day to return. Mary is essentially saying, we have been great once with God, we can again be great. God has done it once, why not again? Just as he promised our ancestors, is her cry. So what promises has God spoken into your life? Maybe today will be the day you first hear a promise from God. Today can be the first time God speaks directly into your life. Some of us may be in a daily conversation with God and have been for years. But for all of us, God wants to speak promises into our lives. But wherever we are at with God, be it new or old promises, God wants us to respond to him. So we have a song of praise, we have a song of power, and we have a song of promise. Now some of us will be sitting here and saying, okay Matt, so what does this have to do with me here today? How can a song, arguably one of the most famous in Christianity, having been whispered in monasteries, chanted in cathedrals, recited in small remote churches, and set to music with trumpets and kettledrums by Bach, have any bearing on my life today? It's simply this. Be open. Be open. Be open to God's awesome, amazing, life-changing power. Mary is open to God. She is so open that she's willing to have God's will done in her life. And it's worth noting at this point that in doing God's will, she would have had to do so with some cost. In verse 56, Luke notes that she stays with Elizabeth for 3 months before returning home, returning to a situation of knowing looks, wagging tongues, and no doubt disbelief from her community. But she goes back in a spirit of strength, a spirit of God. Now, can you just imagine the conversations between Mary and Elizabeth shared over those 3 months? They would have charged up Mary's spiritual batteries to take on the challenge of her facing her daily circumstance on returning home. Now, I do not know where you are on your journey of faith today. You may have no faith, but you're exploring who this Jesus is and what he means for your life. You may be new and have taken those early steps of faith. And for some of us, we may have been on this journey of faith with Jesus for years. It is through Mary's reaction and listening to the Holy Spirit that we can all learn something today. Now, the Holy Spirit is a friend, a guide, that little nudge we have in our hearts and minds. God only ever wants us to come willingly. Jesus' call was to follow him, not I'm going to force you. But how, you say, how do I hear God's Holy Spirit talking to me in my life? Simply by giving God space and time to speak to us, and us being willing to hear a response. I'll say that again. Simply by giving God space and time to speak to us, and us being willing to hear a response. Now the response will be different for each of us. Through prayer, worship, and spending time with God's word on a regular basis, we will soon find out how God speaks to us. But I would say that it is mainly through listening. We need to quieten our hearts and minds and listen. Now I know that's not easy in this busy modern life we have, of always on news, social media, busy family lives, and just being plain busy. But if we make time and space for God, he will speak to us. When I read this passage in Luke, I'm left with just one question. What is it that God wants with me today, and how can I become more open to his Holy Spirit in my life? Let me just invite all of us to be like Mary, open and available to God. Become someone who can praise God. Become someone who can be used powerfully to do God's will. Become someone who can be part of God's promise to our friends, our families, and our communities. After all, if we all opened our lives fully to God and listened to his Holy Spirit, can you imagine the changes that could take place? If God can take a humble, unknown young girl and through her openness change eternity, just think on what God wants to do with each of us. And if we all do so, we can all sing a song of praise, a song of power, and a song of promise. Amen.